Recorded Books and RB Digital present The Best Science Fiction of the Year, Volume 3. Edited by Neil Clark. Narrated by Vikas Adam, Ali Ahn, Louis Arlt, Michael Braun, Mimi Chang, Karen Chilton, Catherine Ho, John Keating, Ava Lucas, Sneha Matin, Janet Metzger, Richard Poe, Neil Shaw, Greg Tremblay, and Dan Warren. Introduction. A State of the Short SF Field in 2017 by Neil Clark. Narrated by Louis Arlt.
With two prior volumes in this series under my belt, I still haven't settled on a routine approach to writing these introductions. Some years will write themselves, and others, like this one, require extra work. By and large, 2017 was a relatively stable year within the short science fiction field. It was the first full year without a monthly print magazine, Asimov's and Analog having switched to bi-monthly at the start of the year. But that doesn't appear to have had an immediate impact on quantity or quality. It's too early to say whether or not this has impacted readership. The ground ceded to the monthly digital and online publications doesn't appear to have changed the landscape at this time. Perhaps the biggest and most personally exciting news was the announcement by Penthouse Global Media, PGM, that they were resurrecting Omni magazine, with Ellen Datlow returning as fiction editor. Omni was the first science fiction magazine to which I subscribed, and it'll always have a special place in my heart. There weren't a lot of stories in each issue, but I always enjoyed them, and its quirky side held a special appeal in my youth. However, over the last few years, there's been some debate as to who actually owns Omni, with Jerick Media launching the now-defunct Omni Reboot online magazine in 2013, and, more recently, selling the back catalog of the original Omni as ebooks on Amazon. PGM has since taken Jerick Media to court over this and other intellectual property issues. Meanwhile, Omni has published its first new original content print issue since the 1990s and plans to continue as a quarterly publication. This first print issue might be a bit of a challenge to locate these days, but it is worth seeking out. Digital issues are available via Zinio. You'll find Nancy Kress's Omni story in this collection. At a recent science fiction convention, I was interviewed alongside a well-established novelist. One of the questions they asked him was what he thought about the state of short fiction, and he declared it dead or dying. Naturally, I couldn't let that go unchallenged. It's disheartening to still be hearing this sort of statement echoing from corners of the field, but it typically comes from comparison to the heyday of genre magazines and a time where the subscriber counts for most magazines were artificially inflated by the impact of Publishers Clearinghouse. For some time, genre magazine subscriber numbers were in freefall, but that dead-or-dying viewpoint ignores the digital explosion of the last decade. Not only were new market opportunities created, but the old print stalwarts were basically reinvigorated by the sales of their digital editions. Perhaps I'm too close to this. My entire career is a result of these changes, but the turnaround saved and brought new life into the field. Are things as healthy as they should be? No. I've addressed that in previous introductions. The number of new readers coming into short fiction is increasing, but not at the rate it needs to adequately support the number of new markets being created. Now, that said, the market adjustment I've been expecting hasn't yet materialized to the level I feared. We're not out of the woods yet, friends. While more than a few markets have shuttered in the last 2 years, and some are still employing questionable business models, that sort of churn isn't terribly unusual for the field, even in the best of times. What I haven't seen is a high-profile closure or recent Save Market X campaigns. That sign of stability is good. You need that before you can grow. Through the small press and crowdfunding efforts to publish anthologies or support individual authors, we continue to see diversification in where stories are coming from and how they reach their readers. These little islands create a very fractured map of short fiction, but help charge innovation in the field. I have no doubt that some great things will rise from this and help improve the overall landscape. When you look at the state of the short science fiction community, you can't just look at numbers. You have to find places like this and project forward. It's amusing to have to point this out in science fiction. Another big opportunity for growth in short fiction is international. The majority of what's published by U.S. publishers originates from the United States, United Kingdom, Canada, and Australia. But there's a much larger audience beyond. It's not uncommon for works to be republished in other countries and often translated to other languages. Years after the digital explosion, the industry is still focused on regional instead of global marketing and distribution. For the online magazines, the internet makes that easy. But for digital and print, the distribution systems are complicated or non-existent. In the EU, VAT fees are also an issue. In parts of Asia, books and magazines are sold at far lower prices than they are here. Adjustments need to be made and creative solutions discovered if we are to enter an age of an international science fiction community. That said, this cannot be viewed as a one-way exchange. Opening the doors to the rest of the world also means letting others in. It's no secret that I've spent a lot of time over the last few years seeking out translated works for Clark's World. Through a relationship with Storycom in China, I've been able to publish many fantastic Chinese authors. We've also published translations from South Korea, Italy, and Germany. In the last few years, the short fiction community, publishers and readers, has become increasingly more open to works in translation. I've seen firsthand how these efforts can build an audience for both U.S. authors abroad and for foreign authors at home. Through these experiences, I've learned a lot about the science fiction communities in other parts of the world. While some regions might still equate science fiction with children's literature, or worse, others, like China, appear to have culturally embraced the genre at the highest levels of business and government. In November, I had the opportunity to visit China and participate in a number of events and conferences. It's a much younger community than ours is here, very enthusiastic and growing fast. It's highly likely they'll continue to have an increasing role on the global SF stage in the years to come. Though its impact reaches far beyond just publishing, there was at least one crowdfunding issue that triggered some serious concern for a portion of the short fiction community in late 2017. Many authors and online magazines, mine included, utilize Patreon to connect with fans and generate revenue. You could describe what they offer as a cross between traditional subscriptions and crowdfunding. For example, a magazine or author can set up an account that allows you to make a monthly financial pledge, and in exchange, you might get a digital issue from the magazine or a short story from the author. You can quit at any time. It can get a lot more complicated than that, but I'm trying to keep it simple. Over the last few years, the number of people using Patreon has grown significantly, and it's had a significant financial impact on the genre short fiction community. Some of the authors using Patreon include Tobias S. Bakel, Cameron Hurley, Sean McGuire, N.K. Jemison, and Catherine M. Valenta. Magazines include Clark's World, Fireside, Apex, Uncanny, and more. In December, Patreon announced that they would be making a change to the way they process fees. They plan to pass along the credit card processing fees to the patrons, their term for the people who support creators on their site. The reason most people don't know about these fees is that they are typically paid by the business where you use your card. Up until this point, they were being paid by the creators. The new model was met with almost universal opposition, and made worse by poor communication from Patreon. Over the next few days, many supporters reduced or deleted pledges. By the time Patreon announced their intention to cancel the fee changes, many creators had lost a significant amount of monthly revenue. Some patrons returned, but the damage had already been done, namely to the trust that had been built up over the last few years. As we make our way through 2018, it'll be interesting to see how Patreon recovers from this PR failure and how the community adjusts moving forward. In many ways, their timing couldn't have been much worse. Just a couple of months earlier, crowdfunding giant Kickstarter unveiled Drip, Patreon's first serious competitor. Drip is presently invite-only, but anticipated to open to a broader audience in 2018. In previous introductions to this series, I've described the process by which the stories are evaluated. Something I didn't spend much time on was how eligibility was determined. In most cases, it's fairly straightforward. If the story appears for the first time in English in 2017, it was eligible for consideration. However, there are some edge cases. For example, like most year's best editors and award rules, I treat a magazine or anthology with a January 2017 cover or publication date to be a 2017 publication, even though copies might have reached subscribers in December 2016. Basically, we're honoring the intent of the publisher. Sometimes, a story can become detached from an issue or book and published separately. For example, a story from an anthology might be released online in December as marketing for the book. In that case, that particular story is considered published in 2016, while the other stories are from 2017. If you're lucky, best-of-the-year editors have been told about this in advance and can consider the story for their 2016 volume. If you're not, the story or stories can fall between anthologies and fail to get some of the recognition they deserve. One such case happened this year. Late last year, I was informed that the January 2017 issue of Wired would contain several science fiction stories, and I added them to my list of works to be considered for this book. Unfortunately, Wired decided to also publish the stories individually on their website, mid to late 2016, making them ineligible in 2017. By the time this was discovered, it was too late to consider them for the previous volume. It's a shame, as it's likely one or more would have made it at least as far as the recommended reading list. However, since the stories are still online, you can check them out for yourself at www.wired.com/magazine/the-sci-fi issue. The 26 stories that did get selected for this year's volume came from 13 different venues. I had hoped that would have been more, but some of the better stories from some of the other markets were more fantasy-oriented than appropriate for this anthology. 10 of the stories came from online magazines, 6 from print magazines, and 10 from anthologies. This includes 2 novellas, 11 novelettes, and 13 short stories. Overall, a stronger-than-average showing from the small press this year. As always, I like to wrap things up with some of the people and things I'd like to draw special attention to for their work this year. The quantity and categories may change from year to year, but such is my nature. Before I start, I'd also like to include a special thank you to friend and colleague Sean Wallace for his assistance and support with this anthology. Best Anthology. Sadly, the larger publishers aren't producing many original science fiction anthologies these days. I only saw a handful in my reading this year. However, the small press has been actively trying to fill that void, and this was one of the years they had the upper hand. Of the 10 stories selected from anthologies, 7 came from small press projects. The best original anthology of 2017 was Extra Solar, edited by Nick Gevers, and published by PS Publishing. At this time, the only edition of this fantastic anthology is a somewhat expensive UK hardcover. I'm hoping that there'll be a trade paperback or ebook edition released in the future so more people can enjoy it. Best New Writer. Of all the categories, this is my favorite, and a great note to end on, since the state of short fiction can be best defined by the quality of its new voices. Some years, it might be someone who's been steadily publishing good stories but has recently risen to a new level. Other years, like this one, it'll be an author eligible for the Campbell Award for Best New Writer, someone whose first professional sale was in the last 2 years. The opening story in this anthology was Veena Jiamin Prasad's first professional sale, and she has since landed other fine stories at Uncanny and Fireside Magazine, one of which you'll also find in my recommended reading list at the end of this book. Although hardly an expansive catalog of stories, this category is very much about quality over quantity. Trust me, this is a writer you'll definitely be hearing more about in the future. Thanks for listening to my thoughts on the state of the short SF field in 2017. Now go read some of the best stories published that year.